I was thinking about, what message will I bring? Well, the last couple of months, we have been studying the book of James in our Bible study. And I was reading through James again, just to refresh my mind, because sometimes you miss things. You know, people read a book and they put it on the shelf and the book's done with. But if you pick it up and you read it a second time, especially Scripture, the Holy Spirit brings something new alive to you. And that's what I want to do today. I want to read from James chapter 1, verse 1 to 16. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered amongst the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossoms falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, one should not say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. So reads those first 16 verses of James 1. And you know, the title of today's message came to me just as I finished that, because there's only one thing I could say after that, and that is trust in the Lord. Before we look into it, let's just come in prayer to the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you will lead me through your word. Lord, if there's anything in what I've written that doesn't meet with your approval, just blow it away like the chaff in the wind, as we've read about. Because we only need to hear from you, Lord. We just ask that you just feed us from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe what James is trying to get across to us is that we can put our trust completely and our confidence in the Lord. Yes, we need to remember that we are all sinners, and as such we will experience trials and temptations, as we've just read, doubts and all sorts of pressure from all sorts of places, from work, from family, from friends, neighbours. We will all experience it. And there's only one way that we can hope to cope with all of those trials and tribulations. And that is not in our own strength, because if you remember the old song, we are weak, but he is strong. You know, we need to call on the Lord and rely on his strength. And it's only then, I believe, that we will not crumble and come through whatever trials and temptations might be assailing us at that time. James is reminding us that we are going to get tested and the going is going to get tough, but we can always rely upon God. He is telling us that although the testing of our faith can be painful, it will also help us to develop our perseverance and allow us to grow and to mature in our faith. He reminds us that as children of God, just like any child can go to his father, we can go to our Father and ask for anything that we need to cope with the situation that we find ourselves in. And he tells us it's important that we do so believing and not doubting that he will meet all of our needs and then some. In Isaiah 54, verse 10, we read, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." What a God that we have the pleasure of coming here to worship this morning. And we shouldn't be just worshiping him this morning, because if you love the Lord, he's with you 24/7. He's always there, ready and available to each one of us. So there is no need ever to feel alone or deserted. We need to remember that he will never love us any less, no matter what we do. When we sin, he still loves us. And all we've got to do is go back to him and ask for forgiveness. He could not love us any more than he does. And he will never pour his wrath upon us, because his wrath was poured upon Jesus, his only begotten Son, who paid our debt for sin on the cross. That's the God that we worship. That's the God in whom we can confidently place our trust, and who will enable us through faith to be able to approach expectantly the throne of his Father in prayer. How many of us read the Word of God and digest it? You know, and if we're honest, try as hard as we do, I find it at times difficult, because it seems, especially in the Old Testament, much more of a historical record of things that happened in a bygone age, thousands of years ago. Yes, it's historical, and we can find out about the culture and practices of those times of old. Those times away in the distance, we may even conclude, consciously or subconsciously, that that was the God of that time. And that's what God said then. And that's the way it was. We behave now at a different period of time, a time we may ask ourselves, as we read through the Old Testament, what is its relevance to my life today? How does it relate to me? I think there's a danger here. You know, if we don't bridge this reality gap of perceived distance and time, then we may be stunted in our growth. The Bible, as I'm sure you're well aware, makes a distinction between the spiritual and the secular life. Our secular life is just maybe our jobs, what we do for a living, or it might be our pastimes, what we enjoy, our games, our sport, whatever it is, our hobbies. That's what it refers to when we're talking about our secular life. Our spiritual life, on the other hand, is all about our relationship with the Lord. What we do when we go to him, when we have our time of worship, our time of devotion, our time in church, our time at Bible study, or whatever, anything which relates to him. But we need to get into a position where the secular and the spiritual entities come together and not keep them segregated. It needs to be complete. If we don't get into the position where we are saturated with God and existing without any separation or demarcation between the secular and the spiritual, we need to begin and understand that the Word of God has an awesome relevance within the whole of our life. It's not just about Sunday mornings at church. It's the whole of our life, everything that we do. It's the journey of moving from knowing God's Word to knowing the God of the Word. Abraham's God, Jacob's God, Moses' God, the God of Daniel and all the prophets, apostles, and church fathers down the ages. This same God can be known to each one of us today simply because He is the ever-living God, everlasting God. He never changes. He's the unchangeable God. Yes, there have been cultural changes that we need to be aware of in the Word of God, historical differences and features that these pages bring to us that we cannot fully understand or remember. When we cannot go back into those times of those days, we are living in a modern contemporary world. But the Bible was written not to show us specifically how these people lived, but to reveal to us the God that they knew. And He is the God that we know today, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The miracle of His grace and the miracle of His book, that is the true living Word of God. And that's the God that they knew, the same God that you and I can enjoy an intimate relationship with today, simply because He is unchanging. He is unchangeable. He is eternal. He is the same forever. When we look at such a vast subject as this, we must ask the question, how is God unchangeable? Well, God's nature doesn't change, as Psalm 90 and verse 2 tells us. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Again in Psalm 102, verse 26, we read, they will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like garments, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. And Isaiah, who we've already heard from this morning, in 48, verse 12, listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am He. I am the first, and I am the last. In Revelation, going to the last book of the Bible, in 21:6, He said, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. When you read those few verses, they bring immediately to my mind the distinction between the Creator and the created. The Creator is unchangeable, and the created, us, we are changeable, as is nature. As we look around us, we can see everything is subject to change. The trees, a lot of them have lost their leaves at present. Some are still clinging on. The weather is getting a bit colder. We're getting a bit older. We are decaying, as things which are created do. They wear out eventually. Everything has a beginning and it will have an end. But our God, as we have already heard, will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, our bodies can change in two different directions, for better or for worse. But that's only for a short time. But our Lord can't go from better to worse, because He is perfect and The meaning of perfect means that it doesn't change. He's perfect. In fact, if we were ever to think about God getting better or worse, then we ceased to think about God. He's compared to a rock that cannot be moved. An immovable rock in the midst of an ocean of his universe. And while the whole of this ocean is continually fluctuating, or as Isaiah put it in chapter 57, verse 20, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest. The psalmist put it in Psalm 146, verse 3, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. That's the reason that we trust in God, because he is the only one who's got the power to save us. We as people, we can be very fickle. We can change at every whim. We can't put our faith in people. There are people who will be our best friend today, and tomorrow they will stab us in the back. They can become our worst enemy. Remember the multitude who cried out when Jesus was going down the avenue of palms, Hosanna to the Son of David. Well, that same crowd later, with the same crowd who cried out, away with him, crucify him. Yes, people can be fickle and unreliable, but there is one upon whom we can always rely. No matter what else changes in this world, the Lord's affection for each one of you will never change. He will never love you any less, as I've already said. Why? Because he couldn't love you anymore. His purpose is fixed. His word is dependable, and we can stand upon it. The permanence of his character is awesome and wonderfully encouraging for each one of us who have surrendered our lives totally to him. What a privilege it is to be accepted as one of his children. To be heirs to the kingdom. To be able to just talk to him as you would talk to your father. Because that's what he is when you become one of his children. God's character doesn't change as ours can. We can all be changeable. We can have our ups one minute and down the next. Our character can be affected by a whole range of circumstances. We're all individuals, after all. We all got different tastes, different opinions, different outlooks on life. Our tempers can change radically. At times we can seem to take on a Jekyll and Hyde personality. Frightening, isn't it? But in Exodus 3:14a, God said to Moses, I am who I am. Very profound. The unchangeable God that we know and love can be relied upon in all circumstances. That wasn't a description of God. That was a declaration of who he really is, the eternal, never-changing God. God's truth does not change. We're all humans here, I hope. And we have met people who don't do what they say, or even say what they mean. And the Bible calls them hypocrites and liars. And let's be honest, we can all be prone to fall into this trap. We're all capable of bearing false witness and trying to appear better than we really are. One of the reasons for this could be that there are times when we don't know our own minds. People can be both double-minded and unstable in their ways, tossed to and fro like those billowing waves on the sea. They change their minds and they change their opinions. You can even find believers who question their faith from time to time. And we need to guard against that, and we need to take heed of what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 119:98. Tell us your word, O Lord. is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. And then in verse 152 of the same chapter, we read, "Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever." I don't know about you, but I find that refreshing, that it's the only thing that you can depend upon to last forever, and that's the love of God and his thoughts for you. Pilate, as he stood before our Lord Jesus and asked that question that the world is asking today, what is truth? We hear the Buddhists, the Islamists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and loads of other creeds and so-called religions who all have their own version of the truth. And you know, they're all versions of the truth. They're not the truth. The Word of God says, "My truth is settled in heaven. It will never change. I have established my testimonies, my decrees. My word is like me. It is timeless. And praise the Lord, it is not a relic of bygone ages. It is not something that we relegate to a certain dispensation. It's alive and it's in heaven today. And it will never change. As the Lord said, not one jot, not one tittle will be removed. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away." How profound is that? Not one jot will be changed. People will change, are trying to change scripture to meet their own religions, like a Jehovah's Witnesses have got a penchant for doing things like that. You know, but when you read the scripture, it doesn't matter what people do. The Lord is the unchangeable one. He will not change. People will change things to suit themselves, but he will not change. As Rob's already said this morning, he has only got one plan, and that's the A plan. There's no B, C, or anything else. A plan, one way, and that's it. If you don't remember anything else from this morning's message, there are 3 points I think we need to bear in mind. And we need to remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's readily available to each one of us to reach out to when we need to. His word is like him, timeless, and it will never change. Not one jot, not one tittle. He will never love us less because he couldn't love us any more than he does. How can we know this? With John 3:16, it tells us quite plainly, "For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Could there be any doubt on how much he loves each one of us when he sacrificed his one and only Son to make it possible for us to have a relationship with him, to be co-heirs to the kingdom along with Jesus? You know, it's hard to comprehend and to understand why he would do such a thing. I know I can't understand why he did such a thing for me, but I'm so glad that he did, because it's made a big change in my life. So I just asked you to just be lifted up by knowing that you've got a loving Heavenly Father who loves you no matter what, even when you have your worst day. All you've got to do is ask him to forgive you and go to him and ask him for the strength to meet whatever it is that is assailing you at this present time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though the mountains may fall into the midst of the sea and the earth be removed and the heavens shattered like glass, that you are still the same. You're the God in heaven who will never be moved. You are the God who never changes. the God whose Son is always available and able to save those who earnestly seek Him. Help us never to forget, as the words of that lovely hymn point out, it's only by grace that we can enter. Only by grace can we stand, not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we ask that you help and protect us during the coming week, and give us the courage to introduce your Son to those that you will send across our path. And we ask it all in his precious name, the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.